Amen. Good evening. Praise the Lord that we can know that the events that happen in our life do not transpire by accident. Amen. We have a loving God, a loving Father who didn't just create us and throw us out on our own and say, now see if you can make it from day to day. Step by step, God's loving hand has been there to guide us. And what a blessing. And thank you for that song. Thank you, choir, for singing It's Not in Vain. Aren't you blessed tonight, church family, that we can know living for the Lord, making sacrifices for eternity, which really aren't sacrifices, but sometimes we view them as such, it's not in vain. Amen? Reminds me that we're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, not just getting by, but always abounding. So thank you, choir, for working hard. Thank you, Brother Grande, for leading the choir. You know, I was up in the balcony a little after 4 and was listening in on the choir practicing. And those of you who have never sung in the choir or sung special music might not know this, but special music doesn't happen by accident. Amen? There's a lot of rehearsals, and even for Daniel's trumpet. Where are you, Daniel? Brother, you almost blew my eardrums out, okay? So if I yell a little bit tonight, it's because I can't hear because of that trumpet. But praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians, for using your abilities, your gifts for the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord, this morning, that message by Brother Chim was a blessing. I don't know about for you all, but it was a blessing for me. I want to be a Barnabas, whether it's here at home or abroad where God's called our family to serve and our team to serve. Thank the Lord for models there in the Bible, such as Barnabas, who, though he could have done a lot of other things as a businessman, as a landowner, but he surrendered his all to the Lord, and he was known as the son of consolation. So thank God for that. We are flying out, Lord willing, in the morning, and it will be a very long flight. We normally fly with Korean Air and our travel agent because everything internationally is changing so fast because of COVID restrictions and whatnot and borders being closed and opened. When we came to America, she said, only purchase one-way tickets because you don't want to be stuck with tickets that are not valid for whatever reason. So we followed her counsel, and one-way tickets would normally be about $600. Okay, so that's what we were expecting last week when we called her up to get our tickets to return back to Cambodia. She said, Dave, so glad to hear from you. I have some news for you about the tickets to return. I said, what's the news? She said, they're $2,000 each. I said, what? I don't want to do a world tour staying in 5-star hotels. I just want to fly simply from LAX to Phnom Penh. $2,000. I said, well, when did that happen? She said, like 3 days ago. I said, why? She said, because they know they can get by with it. So that's why they're doing it. So all that to say, we're not flying with the airline we normally would fly with. We're flying with Singapore Air, okay? And I've heard, I think it was Brother Ross told me, that Singapore Air is supposed to be one of the best to fly, and it was only $500 a ticket, amen? So I don't know if it's because it's old planes, okay? And we may never see you again, so it's not in vain, okay? We have a home in heaven. If you're not sure you're saved, make sure you're saved, folks, and we'll see you up there. But terribly long layover in Singapore, 15 hours in the airport. And would you help us pray about this? We really desperately need a clean COVID test when we get on that end. Okay, we're fully certified, we're fully clean. I have the piece of paper back at Mrs. Stein's house proving that we are clean so we can get on the plane tomorrow. Okay, we passed the test, but the big one is not here. Over here, if something happens, you test positive, whether false or true, whatever. It's no biggie. You just deal with it, okay, for the most part. But over there, you test positive at the airport. Anybody know what happens? You don't go back home. No, if you could go back home, that would be worth another 40-hour flight time. You actually get all your junk loaded up on a big bus with everybody else who tested positive, and you get transported to the big detention center, a big room about the size of a gymnasium full of a bunch of bunk beds. Guess who else is in those bunk beds? Not just your family, but everybody else who tested positive, who not only has whatever they tested for, but all kinds of other diseases that you don't want to get. Help us to pray that that won't happen, okay? Feel great, feel strong. It wouldn't help to take lots of Tylenol or anything if you felt sick because they're going to do that test. So help us to pray about that. You know, when we took our test to arrive 5 months ago, it's really scary over there. And give you a little bit of perspective of what your missionaries go through, because life over there is a lot different than here. You have to have a clean certificate to fly to the States, of course. So we went and took our test. 24 hours later, you go back and you get the results. When we went back to the health department to get the results, we didn't go back by ourselves. We went back with our suitcases. Say, why did you go with your suitcases? Because, again, if you test positive, you get put in a little truck, and these guys in hazmat suits come, and they escort you to that big detention center. So we've been through this once already. I was really relieved when we showed up to get our certificates in Cambodia to fly here. I was the first in line. Debbie was the second, and then our kids were a third and fourth. So I was the first one in line, and there's two lines, and you don't know which line you're in. There's a line of people who are getting on the bus, and there's a line of people who are getting on the airplane, okay? You just hope, don't you hope in life you're in the right line, right? I was hoping we were in the line for the airplane. So I was really relieved to see that I was in the line for the airplane. They stamped it, good to go, get out of here. But then it dawned on me, oh no, my wife's next. What if they don't stamp hers? And so it's kind of stressful. Help us to pray about that. In a moment, I would like to challenge you just for some real brief thoughts from Psalm chapter 40. But I want to spend a few moments here and let you know kind of the vision of what we hope and we pray and we believe God is leading the team in Cambodia to do in the year 2022. If we can get that slide up there, Brother Jeremy. Oh, you got it. Some of these things we had hoped to see accomplished by now, and we would have moved on to some other things, but God's timing is always best. You ever feel frustrated because you have a plan and you have an agenda and you think you have everything just lined up, and then God goes and just changes everything, okay? How many of you would say that one of your gifts is to be super organized? You're kind of an administrator, okay? How many of you wouldn't know organization if it hits you upside the head? Okay, and how many of you have no idea what I'm talking about? Okay, most of us didn't raise hands. Okay, that's fine. Well, as a kind of organized person, I like to have a plan, an agenda, and a vision. And Lord willing, we're going to see some of these things take place in the year 2022. But as our sending church, and as a church that has a significant investment in Southeast Asia, I want you to know, friends, what it is that God has already done, but what we believe God's going to do through the efforts there in Southeast Asia. Why? So that you all can help keep us accountable in these areas, ask us about them, but also so that you can pray more intelligently. You know, when we pray for the missionaries, we don't want to just pray, God bless the missionaries. We want to pray for some specific things. That's why your missionaries write prayer letters, amen? So in a sense, I want to give you kind of a brief overview of what we hope the Lord will allow us to see take place in year 2022. Praise the Lord that as of about a week and a half ago or so, we are now legal. The Prime Minister lifted the ban and whatnot, and as a church, we are legal to assemble together. You know, we take a lot of things for granted here in America. Of course, we have the freedom of expression, the freedom of assembly here, the freedom of religion. We have different freedoms, Second Amendment. In Cambodia, we have the freedom of religion, but we don't necessarily have the freedom of assembly. And that's the thing that has really put the kibosh on us meeting publicly out in the open like we normally would do, and like what you all do here. But now we're able to meet in the building, and there's just a catch. There is some specific things. Okay, it's not moving. I think we faced this last time. Okay, I'm going to turn it off and turn it back on. Wow, my battery literally went dead. Junk it? Oh, now it's rattling. Okay. When I tested it, Brother Raul, you weren't sitting right there, and it worked just fine before the service. There we go. Now, if you'll remember about, I don't know, 5-6 weeks ago when we were here, we talked to you about the building the Lord allowed us to complete, beautiful auditorium, you see the chairs there and whatnot, and we were looking forward, of course, to using this building for God's glory. We used it for about 2 months, and it sat empty ever since. Now we're excited, we're blessed to be able to get back into the building. However, there's a catch. I won't give you the full list of things that we have to abide by in order to have people come into the building, but one of the things is our chairs in the auditorium have to be 4 feet apart. Now, imagine what size of an auditorium you'd have just to fit us. We need the full balcony, right? Amen? 4 feet apart, okay? Before this last final lockdown about 10 months ago, we were meeting in the auditorium, and let me just say this. We weren't necessarily following all the restrictions. They had some of the same restrictions. We didn't follow them all. In fact, we followed virtually none of them, okay? But this time is a different story. They're not messing around. They're serious about people who are going to meet together, groups meet together in a public setting like this. And so we're going to need to follow some certain things. So what we're doing right now, Lord willing, starting on the 30th, this is our balcony level. This is our balcony level. And it's about, about 25 meters long. And I don't know what that is, 25 yards or so, basically. And you can see the width of it, or the depth of it. We're going to be, starting on the 30th, welding basically like bleachers like you'd have at a ball game, okay? So that we can put about, actually, in reality, if the balcony were set up normal and we didn't have to have the chairs 4 feet apart and whatnot, we could set about 250 people in the wraparound balcony. But now, just in order to fit the actual church, we're going to need to design the balcony, install everything. Going to cost about $6,000. Praise God, that money's been provided for just in the right time. Amen. And amen. Yeah. Otherwise, I'd be up here with crocodile tears, saying, "Please give to help with the balcony." Okay. God's provided for that need, so praise God for that. So Brother Vong and one of our men are going to be heading up a crew. Help pray that as we get back into the building, that things won't shut down. That everybody will be safe. We are so excited and anticipating what God's going to do through the tool and through the luxury of a building. By the way, the building is just a tool. We know that. The building is a luxury. Many, many believers around the world don't have a building to meet in. And so we're thankful that God's provided this for us, but we need to try to follow some of those regulations. So we're going to be, Lord willing, beginning a meeting together on the 19th. That'll be our first service. That'll be a Christmas service, and Lord willing, we'll be able to meet until the rapture. Amen? The next thing we'd love to see take place is to be able to resume regular Bible college classes. Prior to the pandemic, we had 17 full-time Bible college students from our church. Presently, our college there is not open to outsiders. We just kind of want to focus on discipling our own young people for a while. Probably the next several years, we may open it up. We've had some interest and some requests from other churches. We don't know how many of those 17 will be available to actually return to Bible college. Three couples have got married during COVID. I don't know if they just thought the world was going to fall apart or whatnot, and so they didn't want to wait until graduation and all that. So, Lord willing, they'll be able to come back and finish up. But one big thing we're planning to do, in addition to having the Bible college classes there at the New Land for those 17 students, is we want to take the Bible college curriculum classes on the road and take it to some other villages. Lord willing, we're going to start with the... I think we just lost that one. Okay, there we go. This is a building that's been constructed for one of our village ministries about an hour and a half or so, about an hour from where our new building is, right next to a Muslim village. Right before the pandemic and a lockdown 10 months ago, we had 31 folks, primarily young adults, who were working in the factories, working different labor jobs. Financially, their parents, their families depend upon the income they generate. You got to understand, over there, if you're the oldest child or the first and the second born child and you're from a poor family, your parents depend upon you to work and to send money back home in order to pay for the bills. And that's just the way it is in rural Cambodia. But we have a number of these young people that came to me personally and to other of our leaders and said, "We want to go to Bible college. We believe God wants us in Bible college, and our parents have forbid it. Their parents don't know Christ." And you know, friends, if we would have simply said, "Go against your parents, bless God, just do whatever you think God wants you to do. God wants you in college, just do it and go against your parents," they would already be in Bible college. But we're not going to do that. We don't believe that would be honoring to Christ. You know, there's no, amen? There's no command for a young person to go to Bible college, but there is a command for them to honor and obey their parents. Help us to pray. Those 31 young people, many of them are from Muslim backgrounds, of course, Buddhist backgrounds, animistic backgrounds. 31 young people, some older adults, but 31 young people that have signed up that want to be part of this extension Bible college class. Okay, we're going to start out, Lord willing, in January, every Monday evening from about 5:30 until 9 or so. We'll do two classes. Myself and Miss Samantha's husband, Brother Vanak, will be commuting there. And I'll be teaching probably on the home, the Christian home. And then Brother Vanak will teach another class, either from the book of James or personal evangelism. What we also want to do is have two or three ladies, possibly my wife and two of our college girls from Phnom Penh, go on that trip each Monday night and hold actual Bible club classes for the children of our members there. And we believe that's going to be a great blessing. Help us to pray about that. You know, whenever you do something new that's invading the kingdom of darkness, the devil doesn't sit back and just take it lightly. You know, as this little building here was being built, it took a lot for that building to be built, not just financially, which actually financially it wasn't that big of a deal. But there in the village, the folks who are not saved, now this is going to shock you, but they're not in favor of having a church building in their village. Can you imagine that? Isn't that amazing? You could never guess that, right? And as our men would build, and they go back home to sleep for the night, and then they get prepared and come back the next morning and start building again, they'd have to rebuild what they built the day before because hoodlums had come through the village at night and torn down the walls, ripped the electric off of the poles, done all types of vandalism. You report it to the police. The police, yeah. I don't know what to say about all that, okay? So pray. I'm pretty sure to the believers, it's going to be a blessing to have Bible college training classes take place there the first quarter on every Monday night, Lord willing, second quarter, Mondays and Tuesday nights. But there might be some villagers who aren't super excited. Okay? Help us to pray about that. Help us to pray for our believers there to be light and salt. Next thing that we are looking to do this year is to help provide clean drinking water for our village, okay? This has always been a struggle from day one. When we bought the property, the former owner of this big, huge rice field said he had worked out things with the city and we would have city water there, and it was going to be great. We were going to have electric. We were going to have water. And how many of you know anytime a landowner promises something that's not in writing, and in Asia, even if it's in writing, but it's not in writing, just consider it, it's not going to happen. Amen? I don't know if it's like that in the Philippines, but that's the way it is in Cambodia. Okay? So sure enough, we don't have water, which those of us from the States, we can work around it. We can purchase water, and it is what it is, you know, bottled water and whatnot. But for most of the villagers in our village, they cannot afford to purchase water. And so the consequence is they would be drinking water that's contaminated. Now, think third world. Those of you from Mexico, South America, the Philippines, other parts of Asia, when you drink contaminated water, what are some diseases that you get? Typhoid. Dysentery is not a disease, but maybe it is a disease. Is that a disease? Yeah, just all kinds of bacteria. Okay, and it's not fun. Okay. We attended a conference, oh, I don't know, two months ago or so, where that church has been involved in helping to provide clean water to different villages in third world countries as a means of soul winning and evangelism. And I spent some time with the leaders there and just talked through how that thing would work. To make a long story short, the Lord has allowed us to raise the funds to have 350 water filters that have a 10-year lifespan and are good to filter approximately 200,000 gallons of water. The vision is for those things to, in a moment, I'm going to give you a prayer request, okay? The vision is for those 350 water filters to come with us tomorrow as baggage under the plane. please help pray that the customs people in Cambodia don't try to charge us a ridiculous amount of tax. They should charge zero tax. But that doesn't mean that's what's going to happen. Help pray that God will blind their eyes, just temporarily, not permanently, okay? Those water filters are valued at $18,000, and the goal was to raise $18,000 to be able to purchase them. We raised $8,400 when the company heard what the vision is, what the plan is, what the desire is to reach out into this village and provide clean water. They said, okay, we'll tell you what. Give us $9,000, we'll give you the 350 water filters. Praise the Lord. A church, a partner church, said we will provide the extra $600, and so we were good to go, okay? We are shipping those all over as excess baggage on the airlines. Pray that those things will reach their destination. Now, here's a vision. And in our ministry there in Cambodia, we're not really big into doing a lot of social things. I could talk to you for hours about how that whole social thing has literally destroyed evangelism there. Thank you. Evangelism there in Cambodia. And it's a tricky thing to know how to deal with social. We spend lots of money and lots of effort helping people with social things. But as a church, we have not done that. This will be our very first time. Okay? Help us to pray that our motives, our goals will not be misconstrued, misunderstood, okay? But here's a vision for us to have our Bible college students and some of our other leaders to be able to be broken into teams, and we will go door to door with literature talking about this clean water project from Pacific Baptist Church of Cambodia. They all know they need water. It's a desperate problem, right? If they don't boil their rainwater, they get sick. If they don't boil the water that they collect from wherever, from the streams and whatnot, they get sick. The problem is, to boil the water requires dinero. A lot of families don't have the dinero. Okay, so what we're trying to do is help to meet a real need that even our own church members have that are there. So as we go and take that literature will let them know about the project and that it's free. There'll be no cost to the people that want it. But then it will be incumbent upon them to contact us if they want a filter. Now, if we hand out 350 flyers at 350 doors, how many doors do you think will actually call us and say, yes, I want that free $50 water filter? All of them, okay? We might even get two or three calls from the same house, okay? Trying to have their little angle, you know? So then the vision is to then send back the second team to go and follow up on the phone call. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to drag this thing out, Lord willing, to have as many visits with these folks as we can. So that by the second or third visit, after the water filter has been installed and they've been trained, they already know us. They like our Christians. Right now, they're scared of us. Right now, they're scared of us. It's a very superstitious area, you see. They want a gospel that is only social. If we taught their kids free English, oh, they love that kind of Christianity. If we just give out a water filter, no strings attached, and there are no strings attached, but the only string is we want to try to get to know them. We want to build some bridges into their life. We want so that when the next holiday comes up a month from now, they already know us. We can invite them to a potluck at the church and a volleyball game and begin to win their hearts and earn the right to confront them about their eternal destiny. Many times we'll confront them without earning that right because it's a command from God, because we have compassion and we're trying to obey God. But we want to earn that right and get to the point. And we've seen this work in many cases through other ways of helping people and winning their trust and whatnot, to where they are willing to sit down and listen to the gospel. And sometimes they will respond by accepting Christ. So that is the goal. Help us to pray about that. We also have a partner church that is providing the funds to dig a new well in our village. This well will be, it'll cost about probably $1,200 to $1,400, maybe $1,500 or so. And this land right here is owned by one of our church members, and they're going to use this front portion in front of the gate as an area for a community well. And this partner church has the goal and the desire to be able to have our village provided with clean drinking water. Help us to pray that that project, and that will work along with the water filters and whatnot. The wells there in Cambodia many times will have arsenic, will have a lot of copper, will have a lot of other chemicals, minerals that have to be filtered out. We don't know if these filters will be sufficient for anything other than rainwater. But pray that as this well ministry goes forth, it will become a soul-winning hub. The goal is to make it available to anybody in our village who wants water, whether it's for their garden or for drinking or for whatever other purpose, cooking or whatever other purpose. We thank God for the folks in the state of Washington who sacrificed to give us the money to be able to do that. We're looking, friends, to expand into four new locations. On this map here, you see the little red star. How many of you see the red star? Okay, you're all awake. How many of you don't see a red star? Okay, all right, almost everybody's awake. The red star is approximately where our new land is located, right on the outskirts of Phnom Penh. Okay, Phnom Penh, a city, Metro Phnom Penh, about 1.7, maybe 2 million people or so. We're right on the edge. These spots right here where the red dots are ministries that are already established, that are already established. You see there to the south, Stungman J, that's about an hour and 20 minutes from where our headquarter church is located, okay? And there's a church, an extension church there. If you look north of this star, in Psathrite, that's where the Bible College extension classes will take place. That's right there where the Muslim village is, okay? Psathrite is a Muslim village. We have a strong, established branch of the church there that's located an hour north of us. Then just past there, about an hour and 20 minutes, which would be actually 20 minutes from Psathrite, is Chumka village. And then Chumri village is 2 hours. And then clear up north, Trapang Tham, which is located 6 hours from where we are. We have a team that goes back and forth there every week. A number of folks are saved. I don't know right now how many would be in a weekly attendance. I'm guessing maybe 40 or 50 or so. A place where just a couple years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, there was not one believer. You say, wow, how in the world did you guys get contacts clear up there, clear up north? You know how it happened? It happened. This is a blessing to my soul. A 70-year-old Cambodian lady from Long Beach. Y'all know Long Beach? From Long Beach, that used to go to our church 30 years ago, took a trip to Cambodia to witness to some family and to some friends. She met a grandmother over there and was witnessing to her. And the grandmother said, "I've already accepted Christ." Well, this 70-year-old lady is quite suspicious because she knows the majority of professing Christians in Cambodia, they wouldn't know Jesus if he stood in front of them. They don't know. They're into social gospel. It's a very sad thing. She said, "Well, who led you to Christ? I don't think you're saying, what's this guy's name? His name's Pastor Dave. Well, give me his phone number." Make a long story short, she demanded that I go meet her, make sure I wasn't a false prophet. Amen? Okay. Went there and met up with her. She looked at me. I looked at her. We figured out we used to know each other. She used to go to church here. I said, "Do you know Pastor Joe?" "Oh, yes, Pastor Joe, you know." I said, "Well, I'm Dave. I'm just looking a little older." "No, I didn't recognize you. You do look older." I said, "Never mind, you know." So we began building a relationship with her, a godly lady, a little bit mean. Okay, a little bit mean, kind of a little feisty, okay, a little bit of a tiger, but that's kind of what it takes to do the things that God has called her to do. Probably 2 years after that, she came back to Cambodia. She called me up. She said, "Can I please purchase some tracts from the church?" I said, "You absolutely cannot purchase tracts, no." She said, "Why?" I said, "You can't purchase them. I will not sell you tracts." She said, "Don't you want people to get saved in Cambodia?" I said, "Absolutely, we do want them to get saved. Why won't you sell me tracts?" I said, "Our church doesn't sell anything. We don't sell anything. If you want tracts, you may come and pick them up. God's provided for them. Our people have given so you can have tracts." So she came and picked up tracts and said, "Where are you going?" She says, "I'm going up to a village close to this village up north, and it was clear out in the jungle, guys. A place that I promise you, if you guys went there, you go to Big Five or to Bass Pro Shop and buy all kinds of gear before you go, because it's full of snakes, spiders, mosquitoes, malaria, all kinds of things. No electricity. And she, as a 70-year-old lady, was going up there alone to preach the gospel. I said, good night. I was thankful, guys, she didn't invite me to go along, because I don't think I wanted to go. I didn't want to go, okay? I would have sent Brother Keogh, because he's a little bit nuts. He likes to do that kind of thing. She went up there, and she began witnessing to folks the true gospel, okay? That we are not saved by works. Baptism cannot save you. The whole deal. You guys know the gospel very clearly. There was a lady there in a village close to there that said, Where did you get this kind of teaching? She said, I've been a Christian for 7 years. I think it was 6 or 7 years. I travel an hour every Sunday to go to church, and I've never heard anything close to what you're saying, Grandma. Where did you learn this kind of a Christianity? And she said, wow, it's in the Bible. And she said, what does your pastor teach? She said, well, our pastor doesn't really teach anything. We travel an hour to get to the church through the jungle and the whole deal, get to the church, get inside the building, probably a building that was funded by foreigners in the country of Fiji. They get inside the auditorium. The pastor stands up, according to this lady, reads one verse, closes his Bible and said, I could explain the verses to you, but it would be kind of boring. And God doesn't want us to be bored in church, so let's all dance in the spirit. And he turns on a boombox to some type of Cambodian Christian hip-hop music, and the entire church dances in the spirit, and then they go home. Now, does that sound appalling? That is appalling. It's an abomination. That type of Christianity won't help your marriage. It won't help you learn how to be a better father or mother. It certainly won't help you with your finances, and most definitely, it does not reconcile the sin problem with God, does it? So this lady began winning folks to Christ. Make a long story short again. All my stories are long. I apologize for that. But I'll give you the short version, okay? She helped to open the door. The Lord used her to help open the door, and now there's an established ministry there. A number of folks have been saved. Many have been saved since that time. In fact, I just saw on Facebook this morning another man, probably 40 years old or so, who's been being worked with and witnessed to now for several weeks, several months, accepted Christ this weekend when a team of nationals, five nationals, Brother Zane, which is one of our national missionaries that you all support, that we support here at home, led a team of four or five other nationals, to go up there, go soul winning, disciple new believers, have church services. This 40-year-old man accepted Christ this weekend. Praise God for 70-year-old ladies who are just mean enough and strong enough, but especially filled with compassion to go places that most of us would not want to go. So these are already established works, but Lord willing, in 2022, we would like to see these other four areas expanded into, okay? Let me start with the one on the bottom first, okay? Ang Ta Saum is about 2 hours and 30 minutes from where our headquarters church is and from where we live, where the new building is and whatnot. It's not far from the Vietnam border. We have several believers there in that village already, and we have a team of folks going back and forth. We would love to see, at a minimum, a regular preaching point established and a children's ministry established, but Lord willing, a church planted right there in that village. Help us to pray about that. Help us to pray specifically for that village. Okay, that is a strategic area that if a strong church can be planted, and if there can be leaders there planted as well, then we can also reach over in across the border into a place that really needs the gospel, a very dark country of Vietnam. Just north of there, you'll see Prek Pano. That's about 30 minutes from where our new building is. That's an area that is very well known for, for people selling their children into slavery. Very wicked place, a very, very sad place. We had attempted to plant a ministry there probably 5 years ago. We had a children's ministry of about 70 kids. We had about 10 or so adults who had made professions of faith. The whole thing just fell apart, literally fell apart. That's another long story, okay? And we have not been able to go back since. We have not been welcome. We're praying that 2022, we can get back into that part of town. That's 30 minutes from where we are. Okay, there we would probably establish a children's ministry, but then any folks who truly get saved, especially adults and teenagers, we would help bring them into our where the Star is located every Sunday and for other events during the week. Wouldn't necessarily need to plant a church in Breg Panoe. Up north there, 3 hours from where we're located, is Kampong Thom. We have a young lady there named Srey Vuit who was saved through a track. And by the way, church, let me say, I thank God for the example of our pastor, Pastor Myers, in this area of missions. Pastor Myers, many years ago, back when he was Brother Myers, bought our very first set of 5,000 tracks personally. He funded our entire 5,000 tracks. You know, some of those tracks have gone places that we'll never know about. But one young lady, about 30 years old or so, that lives in Kampong Thom, received one of those tracks when she was in prison for committing a white-collar crime, probably not paying the right bribe to the right person also, so she had to go do the time. A missionary, a Filipino missionary, went to go do some visits in that particular jail. When he left, a track fell out of his Bible. She saw the track on the floor. She went to go pick it up, brought it back to her room, and it was one of our tracks. I don't know how this man got our tracks. He got them somehow. Okay? Maybe he was too cheap to buy his own, so he used the one that Pastor Myers bought us. I have no idea. She told God, she said, I don't understand the gospel. It's all under, but I don't understand it. But as soon as I'm released, this is what I want to believe, and I want to go track these people down and learn more about it. And Jesus, if you will help me, I want to believe this. Sure enough, she did. Probably 6 months, 8 months later, she was released. She called us up one day. She made an appointment. She came to Christ. Her teenage daughter, I believe, has recently accepted Christ. She would love to see a church in her village. We also have a lady who is a medical doctor. She's about 35 years old, was attending our church back before we moved to the new location. She is now relocated to that village, and she's praying specifically that our church will go there and plant a church or a small group or a preaching point or something. Help us to pray about that, okay? That is a great need. The one I'm super excited about is the city of Battambang. You know, when we went there to Cambodia 10, 12 years ago, Pastor Esposito asked, where were we going to plant the church? And he gave me some ideas, and he strongly encouraged me to plant the church in Battambang. Well, for various reasons, it wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right location. He asked me, he said, when do you think you would be able to be in Battambang? And I said, I would guess probably a decade after we start the church. Probably about 10 years. He said, okay. Well, here we are at the about 12-year mark. And the Lord is opening the door for us to go to Battambang. Something interesting about that province is most of the Cambodians that fled the Khmer Rouge and came here to the United States are from Battambang. In fact, if I had probably young people don't know, but if I had you raise your hands, how many of your parents were from Battambang? The majority of the Cambodians in this auditorium would raise their hands. Why would they be from Battambang? Because they were close to the border and it was easier for them to escape. Most folks in Phnom Penh, where our Star was or is, when the Khmer Rouge came into the city and the city fell, there was nowhere to escape to. Okay, many of Brother Ross's mom is from Phnom Penh, where the Star is. But most of our folks here at this church and most of the Cambodians in America are from Battambang. Now, here's the exciting thing. We've wanted to go there for a while. We have some of our team members. Brother Vong, Brother Gail has family members there. They're not necessarily open to the gospel. I think they've tried to witness to him and whatnot. Last week, I had a man and a lady call me, some folks that I've known for many years, some folks that I know their heart, I know their love for the Lord, I know their desire to see their own people saved. They called me and said, Pastor Dave, do you think there's any way that you guys could come to Battambang? We've led folks to Christ. They placed their trust in Christ. They've burned their idols. We need help to disciple them. We need a church planted here. Wow. God's timing is there, is not wrong, just like the young lady saying, all along God has been leading us, now's the right time. Help us to pray about that. Help us to pray about that. The lady on the phone, or on the video chat, when she was asking me if we could please go there, she said, I've been around to many different churches around that area there in Battambang. She said this, and this is very, very sad. She said, I've not met one Cambodian pastor who knows the word of God. They literally do not know the word of God. There's a great need for solid, Bible-based, evangelistic, soul-winning, with the right standards, church there in Battambang. Help us to pray about that. Hey, I wonder if maybe somebody listening this evening would be part of the solution to Pastor Esposito's request 12 years ago to see a church planted in Battambang. You ought to pray about that. You ought to pray about that. You say, well, I could never do it alone. You don't have to do it alone. Number one, Jesus will be with you. Number two, we have a whole team of missionaries and we have a team of nationals, and this is something that we will all do together. Maybe God would want you to surrender to that. Quickly, we want to launch Solutions for Life. Now, this is a multimedia ministry, a media ministry through social media and all kinds of other things I don't have time to talk about, but I want you to pray about this in particular. We have not done much with this at all, but this next year, we believe we're in a position to begin doing this and become effective in reaching many places all around Cambodia and even other countries with the gospel, with discipleship material, with all types of different things related to social media. This past year, I've just given you three samples here. The one on the left is a testimony that we recorded of a university professor and his wife who were saved through our ministry. She was demonically possessed for 7 years. They spent nearly 90,000 American dollars going to different witch doctors and healing centers to perform different ceremonies in order to free her from this demonic possession. Well, how many of you know that the Bible says in John 10:10 that the devil is a robber, a liar, and a thief? He wants to destroy. And he had destroyed much of their finances. He had destroyed her saneness, her sanity. They had given up hope. They said, we don't believe in religion anymore. And they just threw in the towel. One day, a teenage soul winner from our church dropped a track. This seems to be the key to win people to Christ in Cambodia. Just drop tracks, okay? Dropped a track. She began cussing him and said, what are you? Are you a betrayer? Are you really Cambodian? Are you a foreigner's dog? Chkai Barte. That's a word that they use. The meche, bangpon kmai, the prajet, klaichi, Christian. Chkai Barte. Sorry, most of you don't understand that. They curse many of our people when they become Christians and call them the foreigner's dog. Wow. This young man, very compassionately said, Auntie, will you please read the material? God can deliver you. He can heal you from what you're going through, and he can save your soul. You know what? She came to church the next Sunday. She got saved. It's amazing. I didn't believe it. I tend to be a bit of a doubter a little bit. Okay, she got saved. 2 or 3 weeks later, we met with her husband, led him to Christ right there where we're sitting. Well, fast forward now about 4 years. We did a recording of their testimony. Over, as of tonight, over 55,000 views on our Facebook channel. Over 1,300 shares. This shows me the power of social media for the gospel in Cambodia. 6 days ago, Brother Zane's message was posted on a site, over 1,000 views. Mine, 12 days ago, 928 views. Now, I'm a little bit jealous that one of our national men that we led to help lead to Christ has more. Now, I praise God that he has more views. And if you'll notice, I have, you don't see it here. There's actually three people didn't like what I had to say, and they put thumbs down. It wounded my heart so much. I don't know if I can get on the airplane tomorrow. Nobody disliked what he must have been a compromiser. I'm not sure. But guys, here's the thing. We are super, super motivated, super thrilled and blessed about the potential of this ministry. One of our men, Brother Kosal, is going to head this up. The face of this ministry will be primarily our national believers. This professor man will be, we'll have a whole team of people, okay, doing graphics, do it first class, but it will be clearly presenting the gospel on social media. in the Khmer language, in the Cham language, and Lord willing, in the Khoi language, the three language groups that our church is reaching. Help us to pray for open doors. Here's the way it works, and here's how we think it's going to work, and we've seen it work. Someone in another province will hear these recordings, okay? They will want to know more about how to be saved. We send a team to go travel to their province. Folks get saved. Next thing you know, we have teams going back and forth to that province continually until there's a church planted. Okay, we're already doing kind of a test thing. One of our men is teaching online, teaching English for different university students. He has a number of connections in places where we would never meet people, but folks that once things are open up in Cambodia, we're going to plan to take a team to go and to meet these English students. Help us to pray that these things will take place. Amen? Very quickly here, just be a couple minutes here. Psalm chapter 40, if you would please open your Bible. Our time is about gone. Psalm chapter 40, I want to challenge you quickly with this concept of our new life in Christ. You know, whether we're serving God here at home in the United States or abroad in different mission fields, our new life in Christ ought to be evident. There ought to be changes that take place that are evident when we come to Christ. And this is our new life in Christ. And I want to remind you what you can expect to see in your life. And the question will be, do you see these three points in your life? And if not, why not? Hey, it'd be great for all of us to go into the year 2022 with this new life in Christ at the forefront of our hearts and minds. Psalm chapter 40, verse number 1 and verse number 2. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. First thing I want to remind you this evening is, and we're going to apply this passage here to salvation, though it's not only talking about salvation, but I want to apply it to our lives, that in Christ, when we come to Christ, when we're saved, we've been given a new destiny. Given a new destiny. Our future has been radically changed. A new destiny. We see there the concept of the phrase, he brought me up. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. You know, one of the things that we need to focus on when we're soul winning is getting people lost before they can be saved. Friends, don't be casual. Don't be careless. Don't be careless in this area of soul winning. It's so very important that people understand that they're lost before they can get saved. You know the song that we sang this morning that Brother Nick had us sing? When a Savior reached down for me, he had to reach where? Way down for me. And this is what the psalmist is saying. Listen, in Christ, God had to reach down into a terrible place of despair. Here he calls it a horrible pit. Do you remember what your life was like before you came to Christ? This could describe your life if you were a teenager or older before you came to Christ. A horrible pit, a miry clay. What is a miry clay? Something that's not solid. Something that's unstable, constantly changes. But friends, when we came to Christ, we received a new destiny. You know, I won't take time to read it. Romans chapter 10, Paul talks about his own people's zeal for God, but a zeal that was without knowledge. And because they didn't have the right zeal for God and the right knowledge of God, they went about to establish their own what? Righteousness. They didn't depend upon the righteousness of God. You say, what is it that God saw in us? What good did he see in us that would cause him to reach down and pull us out of this miry pit? Can I tell you something? He didn't see anything good. He did not see anything good. Friends, in Asia and here in America, there's a false gospel that I've heard preached that goes like this. God saw so much potential in you. He saw so many good things in you that he reached down and he helped you just to become a better you. No, that's not the gospel. And my friends, we received a new destiny when we got saved. Thank God for that. A new destiny. It's good for us to often remember where God took us from. You know, it's said, I've heard people say this, no one goes to hell because they're too bad, but many people will go to hell because they're too good. You know, that's what we face there in Cambodia. That's what religion teaches people to do, do good. One of the biggest barriers we face when we're dealing with the gospel versus religion is the fact that there's nothing good any of us can do to earn God's favor. Whether it's to be saved. Let me say this. Here's something for you to think about. After we're saved, there's no amount of good, no amount of service, no amount of sacrifice, no amount of soul winning that you and I can do to cause God to love us any more than he loves us right now. That's a great destiny, amen? That's a great destiny. And the Bible says that he established our feet upon a rock. Who is that rock? That rock is Christ. He established our goings. Friends, let me remind you this evening that if you're saved, you have a new destiny. Your steps are established. If you have areas in your life that this last year didn't work, they weren't solid, they weren't built on the rock, it'd be a great time at the end of this year, get those areas surrendered to Christ. God's desire is for us to have a life that is established. Established. And then we see a little bit lower there, we see in verse number 3, a new determination. So not only a new destiny, but a new determination. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. A new song. A life that has been totally changed. A life that before we received this new destiny, this no condemnation that the book of Romans talks about, a life that was tied into temporal things, but now this new song that many will see is a life that is consumed by things that are eternal. Let me ask you this. You're serving God here at home. Is your life viewed by others as being consumed with the things that consume the heart of God? Or have we sometimes allowed things to slip and we've allowed the cares of this world, temporary things, to steal away that time that we're supposed to spend with the Lord? You know, the world's watching us, right? We were reminded this last week as we went to a restaurant in Iowa, a restaurant we've always wanted to go to. We went there and I ordered a pork chop about this thick that was stuffed with dressing. It was awesome. The waitress, when we gave her tip, gave her a track, she said, "I knew it." I said, "You knew what?" She said, "I knew you guys were Christians. I've been watching you as you've been sitting here with your family." You know, the world's watching us. We've been given a new destiny. We've been given a new determination. What is this new determination? This new determination is that this new song that's in our mouth, these new values that God's given us, a life that is built upon this rock, that many will see it, and the result will be what? They'll trust in the Lord. They'll trust in the Lord. Paul in Romans chapter 11 talks about his own people and how they had rejected the gospel. And then the gospel went to the Gentiles, which is us. And that result would be that the Jewish people would be provoked to jealousy. As I was thinking about this new song, "And many shall see it and shall trust in the Lord," I was asking myself, and maybe you should ask yourself this question. Is there anything about your walk with God? Is there anything about the hope that unsaved people see in your life? The love, the contentment, the compassion. Is there anything at all in your family life, your marriage life, that would cause your unsaved coworkers, your unsaved family members that you'll be with this Christmas to look at you and say, "You know what? I'm jealous of what you have." Now, if they're not jealous of what we have, why not? Friends, we want to remember God's given us his destiny, but he desires for us to have this new determination that our lives, that my life, that your marriage, that your children will be used in such a manner that it will cause the unsaved people to see us and to be provoked to ask us, "Hey, why do you have this hope? Do you have a life like that?" Would you pray for our family as we go back to Cambodia, a very dark place, that we will have that type of a testimony? And we'll pray for you here at home that you'll have that type of testimony. Listen, friends, time is short. Time is short. If we're going to win some of our lost relatives to Christ, we need to do it now, right? If we're going to see our coworkers come to Christ, we need to have this determination. We need to have this godly ambition to draw people to Christ through our testimony. We're left here as witnesses. Let me remind you that the greatest soul winning in our church does not take place on a Tuesday night or a Saturday morning. Handing out tracts, even confronting people about their need of salvation at the door. You know where the greatest soul winning takes place? In our everyday life, as we're dealing with people who know us and watch our example, and they say, you know what? I want what you have. I want what you have. I wish I could tell you the stories of several key families in our church there in Cambodia who were saved not because they heard the gospel preached, but because they saw the gospel lived. So friends, we've been given a new destiny. We've been given a new determination. And by God's grace, we've been given a new delight. Do you have this delight? The psalmist says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. I want to delight to do what God wants me to do. Do you delight to do that? We talked 5-6 weeks ago about the mission field, and we made that appeal. And there's many things here we're going to talk about. But because Pastor Myers is watching, I'm going to close so that we're not too late here. I told you there were believers in Cambodia, in Laos, in Thailand, praying and fasting for folks in our church here to delight to do the will of God. I believe there's people here tonight who desire to delight to do the will of God in regard to foreign missions. There's something holding you back. Can I challenge you and say, if you've been given this new destiny, this new determination to see your life used for God's glory to bring people to Him, please submit to God's will in your life and delight to do God's specific call for you to go to the mission field. Most of us will delight to do God's will right here at home, but I wanted to throw that in before prayer. I know for certain there's folks here in this room who have talked to me and said they're struggling with it. You know where peace will be found? It'll be found in surrender. It'll be found in surrender. Okay? Are there areas in your life that you need to surrender to Him? Not just to go to the mission field. Are there certain delights that you have that are not in keeping with God's word and with God's will for your life? Surrender those areas to Christ. Wow, it'd be great to end this year and start next year on that solid rock with our steps established. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to close in prayer. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes just very briefly. Really, the challenge has just been to believers, just rejoicing in this salvation that we've been given, this new life, this destiny that's not earned, but it's all of God's grace, God's favor. This determination we're to have as God's people to live a life that would cause others to want to know Him as well. And then to delight to do what God has called us to do. But my question would be this evening, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed right before we pray, is there anyone here this evening who would say, you know what, Dave, I'm not 100% sure that I know anything about this new life. I've been around church for a while. I've heard the gospel, but I'm not 100% sure that this sin problem I have between me and God has been settled. And I'm fearful, I'm concerned that if I were to die tonight, I would not stand before God as a friend, as a child of God, but I would stand before Him as an enemy. Brother Board, I'd like to get that thing settled. Is there anyone in here tonight who's not 100% sure that their relationship with God, their standing with God is right? You're not 100% sure you're saved. Just raise your hand right there where you're standing. It won't call you out, won't seek to embarrass you. Anyone here that's not sure they're saved? All right, okay, I see that hand. And then for the majority of us who are believers, are there any areas in our life, is there a lack of zeal on our part, of being determined to see our life used for God's honor and glory. And because of that, we sometimes compromise at the workplace, we compromise with our friends, we're not that bold witness. And maybe this evening the Holy Spirit's reminding you, listen, you have this new destiny. You need to be determined to live a life that's honoring and glorifying to Christ. You need to delight to do whatever God's calling you to do. Is there anyone in here this evening that would say, in closing, I don't have that determination like I ought to? By God's grace, I want to leave here with a renewed determination just to walk with God, to be that bold witness. Anyone? All right. Right there where you're standing, pray and ask God to give you that victory. He will do that. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to challenge your people this evening. Lord, thank you for your goodness in each of our lives. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for this hope that we've been given, this destiny, this determination. Lord, help all of us to delight to live a life that's honoring and glorifying to you. Lord, thank you for this church family. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for those here who are faithfully serving you, Lord. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.